know where it's important for us to think about the plan of salvation in this gospel meeting and the way to live the Christian life. And we are thankful for your presence today. Thankful for the invitation to be a part of this gospel meeting with you. And in regard to this matter, we see that the God of heaven knew that we would need him. There was a time in which the children of Israel were in deep captivity. They were slaves. And there was a letter written to them that were in that time of slavery. They were going to be made free from that slavery. They would be able to go back to their promised land. But they would also be tempted to lose that promised land if, in fact, they did not obey the Lord in the future. They were in slavery there because they had not obeyed the Lord as they should have. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, in verse 11, the Lord said in that particular letter to them, "When you shall seek me with your whole heart, you will find me." He goes on to talk about that captivity in the succeeding verses there, Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, and following. But that captivity will not come upon you again. You will not have the dilemma and the difficulties of it. If in fact you seek me with your whole heart. Are we people who find ourselves in life seeking the Lord with our whole heart? Not just a part of our heart, a part of our heart that might say that we're social, is socially inclined. We get into a marriage, we get into children, we get into plans for our home life and for our future by way of social way. But then there's a spiritual walk that we have. And the spiritual walk with God is to seek out the Lord and do His right will. It was also the notation of Jeremiah, we know that a man that walks is not walking so that he can follow the way of God. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. When we find ourselves directing our own steps, we find ourselves amiss from God's way. And here's the statement of this letter to these people who were in a time of slavery. When you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. Seeking the Lord with our whole heart, our heart of being, that we dissolve in what we've done and how we've behaved, how we've misbehaved. We find the Lord in our heart. We devote ourselves to loving God. So what does He look like? Well, the Bible tells us in regard to this that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In John 4 and verse 23 and 24. When we find ourselves worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, we find ourselves bowing before the Lord's word as well as our mannerisms of life. When we find a spirit to obey God, we find that seeking that Jeremiah talked about. We find that genuine love that he said that we should have. And we love him, John will write in 1 John 4, because he first loved us. We recognize that God loves us, he cares for us, but so do we return that love toward him. But how do we go about returning that love toward him? The brethren in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 14 and in chapter 16 were misusing their worship in serving the Lord. They claim to be partaking of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 20 says they're actually partaking of their own supper and not their Lord's Supper. They were people who were thought of the great powers that they had. And they could sing in those words. And they could speak in those words prayers. And they could preach in those words that they commonly did not use. And thus they could talk in those languages that nobody understood in the house. Very few people at best understood what they were saying. And they were encouraged not to do that, to speak words that are easily understood by everybody, lest they be interpreted as being people who are insane as they leave that service in 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians 16, there was a situation going on of great need. There were to be people who gave toward that need and gave in a very efficient way upon the first day of the week. Let each one be laid by him in store as God has prospered him. And so in reference to this matter, 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, he says there have to be a gathering, there have to be a need to be met, but it won't have to be met if you do this in a more fair and efficient way. And just those of the brethren were encouraged to do that. We read in 2 Corinthians 8 that they did that in a bountiful way. What we find in the page of the Bible is that the worship of God is according to his word. It's in spirit and in truth. It's with an idea that we have in mind, but it also is with the word of direction. And thus this morning, as we've gathered together, we have the Lord in our view. We partake of the Lord's Supper, remembering what He did for us at the cross. If we have the Lord in our view, we've sung the songs that talk about the ideals of God's glory and God's wonderment and how He gave Himself for us, and we appreciate Him. If we find ourselves in giving a proof of our love, the Scripture calls it in 2 Corinthians 8. And in reference to this matter, we find our preaching of God's Word, hopefully today, in words easily understood and an encouragement to us to, with our whole heart, search out the Lord. And with our whole being, be people that He would have us to be. For the Scripture manifests to us in Romans 3 and verse 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Since all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all accountable beings, choosing to do right or wrong, have chosen to do wrong at times in their lives. And in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. The idea of being separated from God, totally and completely, because we lived in and we died in those sins of our lives. We missed the mark enough and we didn't care. We missed the mark enough and we did not change. We missed the mark of it, and we did not find ourselves coming back to God with our whole heart. And as a result of that, we find ourselves amiss from the Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we come back to the Lord Himself, we find ourselves enjoying Him in a wonderful way. What kind of life can we live? Well, in 1 Peter 2 and in verse 2, we're as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. We're in a growing way of life. And in that growing way of life, it's not according to our age, but it is compared to our age. If we see a little baby not growing as he should, not developing as he should, we're concerned. We take him to the doctor. We be sure that they get the nutrition that they need. They get the supplements that they need to grow as they should. We do not want them to remain where they have been. We want them to grow. Same thing in our daily walk of life in a spiritual way. We're babes in the Lord. Newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. But the milk of the Word is not the only thing to have. For as we read in Hebrews 5, beginning verse 12, these brethren did not continue to grow from the milk to the meat, and thus they were not the teachers that God wanted them to be. God wanted them to be teachers of His Word, understand right and wrong, discern good and evil, and be people who serve the Lord all of their days. On the other hand, what they did, they remained in the milk, and they remained just really in Papillon. They found themselves not being all that the Lord would have them to be. Let us be the kind of people then who recognize that God knew about us way before we knew ourselves. And in reference to us, God's Word teaches us how to be guided, and how to seek Him, how to worship Him, how to serve Him, and how to look forward to His hope and salvation from sin. Let's be people then who find that milk of the Word, grow into that salvation, grow into becoming teachers of His Word to others right about us, developing ourselves in such a way as that we will be the people that God would have us to be. That's the rewarding way. We will also be a part of a congregation, for in Acts 2 and verse 47, we read where the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. We find ourselves in salvation. The Lord adds us to His church. And where in the church we're to glorify Him, as Paul writes in Ephesians 3 and 21, glorify Him throughout all ages, world without end. It's in the church that we're to do that. We find ourselves not in a building, but in the relationship of the body of Christ, the church. And so here we are today, inviting others to a gospel meeting, inviting them to be a part of studies that will be done night by night, emphasis that will be given to the Word of the Lord and how we're to be the people of the Lord. Once we're saved from sin, once we find ourselves enjoying that salvation, and in Acts chapter 2 we read where these people believed in the Lord, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins, as you read in Acts 2, verses 37 and 38. As they did that, the Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. Sometimes people put off for years, thinking that I'm never good enough, I'll never be good enough. I'm in sin, and I'm wrongdoing, but I don't know what to do about it. The Bible tells us what to do about it. The Bible tells us to come to the Lord himself. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will add you to his church. It's in the church we're to glorify God throughout the rest of our lives. Ephesians 3:21. Let's be people then who do that. And inviting others to be a part of such things as special preaching services to acquaint them with what the Lord says and what the Lord expects. What then should we do once we're saved from sin and glorify the Lord? What can we do? I base my particular remarks in this particular part of the sermon on the class studies that we've been doing over the last several weeks of time. I thought there'd be no better recognition of what we're to be as God's servants of the Lord than what we've been studying about in reference to the brethren at Corinth and their contributions. It's referred to not in money in those chapters, 2 Corinthians 7:8-9. But it's referred to as the grace of the Lord. It's referred to as an abounding in. It's referred to as a wonderful sufficiency of equality. This giving that they gave was because of a certain attitude they had in their hearts. In 2 Corinthians 8:5, we read that Paul said they didn't do what I thought they might do. He said they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then unto us by this ministry. There was a great need that was expressed. These people decided to give toward that need, not because that they had the extra money in their billfolds or in their savings accounts and they could give out of that, but because they first gave themselves to the Lord. Then they transferred into funds those kind of things that they had that they could sacrifice, that they give toward the needs of those brethren who were going to be in a terrible state later on. That's the way that we should live in our lives, a growing and giving kind of people. Look for the needs of others and give friendship. Look for the needs of others and give some money. Give for the needs of others and give them a job. Look to the needs of others and serve them. Because those are certain needs that people have that sometimes money doesn't buy, and sometimes just friendship does not supply. Let's be people who look to all the needs of people around about us and help those people in such a way that we'll be the people that they will say to us, why are you like this? It's because of the God in you, the Jesus that you serve, the teaching of the Lord that you live, and because of that influence, others will come to the body of Christ. We hope to grow here in this place because of that effort to be done. And in this particular week, inviting others to come and sit with you will be a wonderful way to begin that idea of this gospel meeting. I hope it's been a blessing to study with you today this particular idea of what we need from the Lord and what we should do. Let's review quickly and close our lesson today. First off, remember the Lord knew about us before we knew ourselves. And the Lord said, if you don't seek me with your whole heart, you won't be able to find me. In Jeremiah 29:11. So in seeking the Lord with a whole heart, what do we find? Well, we find that we are to be worshipers of the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're to be people who honor the Lord. And he corrected the brethren Corinth when they misused their worship and did not do it correctly. He corrected them in their misuse of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, in their misuse of preaching and praying and singing in 1 Corinthians 14, and in their contribution for the needy, he didn't want them to mess up on that. He encouraged them to bring it and put it part of every week's service. And that's what they did. And they were ready, according to 2 Corinthians 8, when that contribution was fixed together. What we find here in the Bible, we find a way to be saved from sin. And we have examples, like in Acts 2, of people who repented of their sins, were baptized into Christ, and the Lord added them to the church. It's in the church that we're to glorify God with the things we do. Not for self-glory, not for pat on the back ourselves, but for the glory of the Lord we're to do this. and we're to do it as long as we live, and every generation thereafter, until time is no more, we're to be that kind of people in the church throughout all ages, world without end. And then let's find ourselves looking to invite others to be a part of a gospel meeting series, a vacation Bible school, special lectures of any kind. Let's invite them to come and sit with us and learn the old story of Jesus and his love. If you have any with us today to say, I need to obey the gospel, I need to be the person that God would have me to be, and I can just put it on. I never thought the Lord would forgive me, but the Lord is infinite in his love and mercy toward us, and he offers that great hope for you and me. And we can come and be cleaning of our sins, be baptized into Christ today, and begin that new journey. Won't you do that as we stand together and as we sing?